Welcome to Zim Music Production Mental Health Podcast with me, Dr. Loveness Mabunu, where I'll bring you guests from around the world to talk about mental health literary series for awareness and resilience. If you are new to our podcast, please subscribe, like, and share. Today we are in Montreal, Canada, with me, Dr. William Bukowski in the studio to talk about mental health, awareness, and resilience. Dr. William Bukowski, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you for inviting me.
I'm super excited to have you here today.
Thank you. It's good to
be here.
How
are you today?
I'm well, and I hope that others are well today also.
Yes. Mostly we ask how are you because we take it underrated that we think everyone is okay, but sometimes maybe they are not okay. So
exactly.
That's why I always ask, how are you feeling?
Yeah.
Because that's part of the mental health challenge.
Absolutely.
Yes. So today we are here to discuss about mental health, awareness, literacy, and resilience. Mental health is a challenge. According to World Health Organization, 1 in 4 people in the world will be affected by mental or neurological disorders at some point in their lives. Mental health is something we don't always talk about in our communities. Therefore, we have to normalize mental health by talking about it directly. That's why at Zim Product, we have to do these programs for podcasts to bring awareness in our communities. Dr. William Bukowski, what does mental health mean to you personally?
I think that mental health means for me someone's capacity or their ability to deal with the challenges that come up in everyday life, with their work, with their relationships, with getting along with other people, with dealing with the challenges that come up in terms of being able to support oneself, to function with others, and to have a satisfying work and social life. I think that mental health, as you pointed already, has a lot to do with awareness. It has to do with the awareness of mental health in other people and how our behaviors influence that, and also being aware of how our own mental health, knowing about how we deal with challenges on a day-to-day basis. What are the times when perhaps we don't have the resources that we need, when we need to take a step back to be aware of what it means to be a healthy person? We're all aware, we've been taught so much about what it means to be a physically healthy person. I think that there needs to be an awareness also of what it means to be a mentally healthy person and how it is that our behavior, our experiences can contribute to the mental health of people around us.
Yes, you said it well, that mental health is a state of awareness, especially it affects the state of mind.
Absolutely.
Our cognitive, our behavior, the way we process through some things, the way we deal with things and process coping, not in a stressful way. So it is important for us to bring awareness to our communities because it's really a challenge. There's a difference that people get confused with the interchangeable of terms between mental disorder and mental illness.
Right.
Would you please elaborate on the difference?
Yeah, I think that the statistic that you just referred to a few minutes ago has to do with people's experiences of what you might think of as mental illness or mental disorders. Certainly, there are some times when people's experiences of anxiety or their experiences of sadness or their experiences of feeling immobilized can be so strong that we see it as a disorder. But it's important to remember that these phenomena can vary across a broadly defined normal distribution, that some people are more anxious than are others in our daily lives. Some days we're more anxious or more nervous, or we worry more than we do on other days. Often it doesn't spill over into, cross the line into being a kind of disorder. But these are important components of health. You can be lacking in mental illness and not be a healthy person, just as you can be lacking in a physical disease and not be and not necessarily be a healthy person. So the difference between mental illness and other kinds of phenomena have to do with the degree to which they interfere with our functioning. And people should have the goal not only to avoid mental illness, just as we have the goal to avoid physical illness, but also to try to achieve a state of mental or physical health.
Mental health is the disorder about the mind, and mental illness is the sickness of the mind, the state of the mind or the brain. However, we have some misconceptions actually in our communities about mental health that people sometimes do not understand because of the myth and the misconception. So what are some of the misconceptions about mental health?
I think that some of the misconceptions about mental health are that you have two different categories, mm-hmm. someone who's healthy mm-hmm. and someone who has a disorder.
Yes.
But in fact, mental health has a lot to do with variations within people from day to day, mm-hmm. as well as between people in terms of the degree to which they can successfully deal with the challenges in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
You can, as I've said already, you can be lacking in a mental disorder and not be mentally healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And people need to pay attention to the factors that contribute to their mental health on a daily basis, just the way that they pay attention to the features of their own physical health. So mental health has to do with being aware of your emotions,
mm-hmm.
where your emotions come from,
mm-hmm.
has to do with how we're dealing with worries
mm-hmm.
and dealing with the uncertainties in your life mm-hmm. and trying to find ways to be more tolerant of uncertainties
mm-hmm.
and trying to find ways that you can make sure that they don't get out of hand.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So like you said, it point correctly that if you are aware of your emotions, you will be able to not to take upon your problems on other people, especially if you are on the south side, that you know you want, because there are sometimes people when they are stressed, they mm-hmm. want to get their stress on other people and stress other people as well. So it is good and best if you are aware of your emotions to control your emotions so that you won't bring your stress upon other people.
Yeah, I think you've hit upon a really important issue. And I think the issue is that in order for us to function in a healthy manner, we often require the actions of other people. One of the most important things in mental health is security,
yes.
is feeling that you're secure in your relationships with others, mm-hmm. that you can predict what other people are going to do,
mm-hmm.
that you can rely on others to help you in times of need,
mm-hmm.
to recognize that the experiences that you have, the relationships you have, mm-hmm. are going to be continuous.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes people's, when they mismanage their emotions,
mm-hmm.
they can interfere with this kinds of security that they have in their relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And so this means that it's sort of a self-defeating situation
mm-hmm.
where you're trying to deal with your emotions, but you're doing it in such a way that you're going to defeat yourself because you're disrupting the security that you hope to find in your relationships.
That's right. Thank you. And in your research, you mentioned that you focus mainly on the young children and adolescents about the mental health issues. How can we better educate our youth about mental health? Because we see nowadays it's really a problem among our youth and adolescents. We have higher statistics of mental health issues. So how can we best educate them?
Yeah, I think there's two different issues that we've hit upon already. I'll expand on them a little bit. One is helping people be aware of their own situations, their own emotions, their own worries, understanding where those worries or where feelings of sadness, for example, mm-hmm. come from,
mm-hmm.
and trying to anticipate when certain experiences might lead them to be more worried or might lead them to have stronger feelings of depressed affect. So part of it is being aware of your own self, being aware of the situations that might cause you trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other part of it is the being aware of others.
Mm-hmm.
I mean this in two respects.
Mm-hmm.
One is being aware of the emotions of other people
mm-hmm.
and how you can be a better friend to them,
mm-hmm.
how you can be a better companion,
mm-hmm.
How you can provide security
mm-hmm.
for others,
mm-hmm.
and how you can limit the kinds of behaviors that you might engage in that could upset someone else.
Yes.
We know, for example, that being bullied, mm-hmm. being victimized, being isolated, mm-hmm. these can hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that's important is trying to help people realize the effects that they can have on other people mm-hmm. and trying to avoid things that are going to hurt others.
Mm-hmm.
Often these sound like two different things, but being good to others makes people feel more positively about themselves.
Yes.
And so we think of the self and the other as separate things, mm-hmm. but in many respects, they're very much conjoined, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And so helping young people realize or be more aware of their own emotions,
mm-hmm.
their own experiences, their own worries, where they come from, mm-hmm. and how they can deal with them, mm-hmm. but also trying to be a better friend to other. It's a process mm-hmm. that's going to have an extra payoff, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. They say charity begins at home. So it is also important for us at our home and also for the parents that if we have our young children, we have to make sure we are aware of their surroundings, their friends, and also to build better relationships with our children so that we will build sound homes with people who have mental health. And talking about support systems, as you mentioned earlier, that if you have some health problems, if you know there are some friends or family or people around you to help you, you know that you are okay because you can reach out for help right. or reach out for resources.
Yeah.
So what kind of support systems are the most effective in promoting mental health?
Sure. We think typically of two different systems, the family mm-hmm. and the peer system.
Yes.
Each of these can be broken down into other units. For example,
mm-hmm.
Certainly when we think of the family, we think of children's parents. Mm-hmm. Sometimes children don't have the opportunity, the opportunities for security with their parents as much as they might want to.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe their parents have split up. Maybe they don't see some of their parents. Maybe their parents themselves are kind of stressed out.
Mm-hmm.
Often in these cases, they can rely on siblings or cousins,
mm-hmm.
other members of the extended family, aunts and uncles,
mm-hmm.
knowing that there's other kinds of attachment figures
mm-hmm.
that they can turn to. That are members of their family, and perhaps even other adults, coaches, teachers, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of children's experiences with their peers, we can think about it in terms of not only their friendship relations,
mm-hmm.
yet how is it that they get along with the one or two people whom they think of as their best friends, and how it is that they experience security
mm-hmm.
and experience some aspects of companionship with their friends. But we can also think about it in terms of the more general peer group. What are the norms of the peer group?
Mm-hmm.
Does the peer group support care?
Mm-hmm.
Do they look out for other people's experiences? Do they look out to make sure that people are included as opposed to being excluded?
Mm-hmm.
Do they support norms that are going to be positive for development? Norms for being good to others,
mm-hmm.
norms for being taking care of others.
Mm-hmm.
So we can think of the peer system on the level of the dyad with friendships
mm-hmm.
and also at the level of the group of what the classroom peer group is like and so on.
Mm-hmm.
I think that one thing that's really important and it should be more of a goal than it is in some cases, and that's for teachers to try to develop a caring atmosphere in the classroom.
Yes.
That many teachers believe very strongly, and I can understand this, that their goal is to promote the children's academic progress.
Mm-hmm.
That they realize children are going to have to take tests. They need to learn some things. Let's get down to business,
mm-hmm.
and let's get to working on the books.
That's right.
But promoting a caring atmosphere in the classroom
mm-hmm.
is not only going to be important for helping to promoting help between children,
mm-hmm.
but it's going to create an overall atmosphere of care
mm-hmm.
that can sometimes make up for the fact that maybe a child doesn't have the secure and supportive friendships that they might want.
Mm-hmm.
So the classroom peer group having a caring component to it is really important.
Yes, that reminds me of one of my friends who had a child that actually was refusing to go to school. Why? Because the child was in class but feeling lonely, mm-hmm. because the child did not have friends. So yeah. because of being in that environment, it was stressful. So the child was actually feeling comfortable to be at home than to be at school. So it's important, as you said, that the teachers also have to be aware of the situation and the surroundings of the children. That's it, not only about doing the work or the homeworks or teaching or academic, but it takes also sure. the well-being of yeah. the children. And so we see most of the time we are in more than one place because mm-hmm. of this fast world that we are living in.
Yeah.
You are either at home, the parents are either at workplaces, and the children are either at school. So as we talked about the children, that the teachers also should be aware of the well-being of their children.
Yeah.
How can workplaces as well create a more mental health environment for their employees?
Right. I think that the pressure in schools for academic achievement mm-hmm. is something that we can all understand, but there's other purposes of school as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that developing a classroom that's going to be provide a supportive relationship is so important.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we can add to the issues that you've mentioned already. Children now, more than ever, mm-hmm. live in the world of social media.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's important for teachers and parents to help children learn that the images that they see on social media, people's reports of what their lives are like, this is not always reality.
Yes.
You're seeing the greatest hits of someone else's life mm-hmm. rather than what their life is like.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy for you to compare yourself to the positive, wonderful experiences that other people present on social media mm-hmm. as if this is their life. People don't always talk about the struggles in their life mm-hmm. in social media.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that one important thing is helping children become more media savvy.
Mm-hmm.
Realizing that what they see in social media may not be reality.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of reality, but it's not the whole reality.
Mm-hmm.
And so comparing yourself to the greatest moments in someone else's life
mm-hmm.
can be injurious in the sense that you don't see the less than glorious moments.
Mm-hmm. And talking about social media, when you grew up long back,
mm-hmm.
the setup for the family was you would sit on a table as family, mother, father, and children to have dinner, and you will be talking, having a discussion as a family. But because of the social media now, with the digital devices that we have and with technology, we find the dismantling in some families that you find it's very rare for some families to sit on a table to just have dinner. Or sometimes they might be having dinner at the table, but you find both parents and the children are hooked up on their
right.
devices that
yeah.
they put like a bite, and the next thing they are actually
right.
going
yeah.
through their
exactly.
gadgets. And mostly yeah. it's about social media, that's on social platforms.
Yeah.
And it's a challenge now that it affects the bonding between the family. So how can we help our families to help them actually just a sitting and a normal dinner without any influence with
yeah.
this?
Much of life is about rules. You know, maybe there should be a rule.
Mm-hmm.
When we're at dinner together.
Mm-hmm.
You're either here
mm-hmm.
with us
mm-hmm.
or you're not. You're with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So at dinner time,
mm-hmm.
no cell phones. At dinner time, if you still have a landline, if the phone rings,
mm-hmm.
ignore it. They'll mm-hmm. call back or they'll leave a message.
Mm-hmm.
Define what's important.
Mm-hmm.
What's important now is for us to focus on each other.
Yes.
And unless we do that, mm-hmm. there can be no sense of connection.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It is very important to put rules, especially to the parents, and have a normal discussion with their children. And also parents should be open-minded to discuss and talk with their children, because sometimes if we don't have time with our children, they are bullied in schools, they are having issues or problems, but because we don't create a safe space for them to discuss or talk to
right.
them openly,
absolutely.
They will not be open up to talk about their experiences or challenges or problems they are going through. And sometimes you end up with more challenges or issues. Some children are even committing suicide because they don't have anyone to talk to
right.
or because the parents are working 2-3 shifts or jobs and they don't have time for our children.
Yeah.
So it is very important for us to create safe spaces for our families so that we'll create the environment with mental health. And Dr. Bekoksi, what resources would you recommend to some people who are looking for mental health treatments? Because one other problem that people say is lack of awareness and lack of resources, that some people do not know where to reach out if they need help.
Right. We understand that if someone was to hurt their ankle or their wrist, mm-hmm. or that they bumped their head or something, they would go to a clinic.
Mm-hmm.
But the same thing should be true for people who are feeling a higher level of stress mm-hmm. that they can't manage themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Schools have counselors.
Mm-hmm.
The counselors are, you might think of that you don't want to go there because you don't can't trust them. They're required to keep your stories private. They're required to use techniques that are going to help you. And they're also required to refer you to someone who can help them if the problem that has arisen is something that the counselor can't handle themselves. Children need to know that there's someone there for them. It may be that the person that they're going to turn to isn't in school or isn't in the family. We know that for many children, opportunities to speak with a minister at their church, if they're religious, if their family has a religious connection. We know that sometimes people can talk with members of the family whom they can trust and they can think of as someone who's not going to tell others about their private thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
People have to know that this is just like physical health. You turn to people for help, and that there's no stigma associated with this.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned before, 25% of the people in the world have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
To know that this is part of normal life.
Yes.
It's an unfortunate part of normal life,
mm-hmm.
but it's part of normal life. And the quicker you can get some help for it,
mm-hmm.
the quicker you're going to find a solution. You said something really important a minute or so ago,
mm-hmm.
and that was you used the word open.
Yes.
And I think that the word open means that you realize that your parents, even if they're not there all the time,
mm-hmm.
would be open to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably the case that the quality of your experiences with your parents is more important than the quantity of it.
Yes.
You could spend a long time with your parents, sitting around, doing whatever,
mm-hmm.
but unless you feel a sense of security with them,
mm-hmm.
a sense of openness on their part to understand you,
mm-hmm.
then all that quantity isn't going to mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think that another issue to keep in mind
mm-hmm.
is for parents to try to maybe check in on their children.
Yes.
Private moments, of course.
Yes.
They have a moment together to say, how you doing? How's your... And to be aware of the things that challenge them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any tests coming up?
Mm-hmm.
How are things in school? How are your friends doing? And so on.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe sometimes the role of the parent is to ask a child, is so-and-so, who's a friend of yours,
mm-hmm.
do you think this person is healthy for you?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe to challenge them. Maybe
yes.
say, what are you getting out of this relationship?
Yes.
Is this a person that you're trying to become a friend with because they have high status, because you think they're cool or something of this sort,
mm-hmm.
but are they giving you the provisions,
mm-hmm.
security,
mm-hmm.
companionship,
mm-hmm.
maybe for older people, intimacy?
Mm-hmm.
Are they giving you those provisions
mm-hmm.
that are so important for mental health?
Yes. There's a lot going on in this world, even cyberbullying, that sometimes if we are not
yeah.
aware of our surroundings,
yeah.
we might have our families or our children actually experiencing cyberbullying. So
yeah.
that's why it is very important for us to always check on our children
yeah.
and to make sure that they are okay.
A word that's probably overused in discussions about mental health and social functioning is balance. You know, we always think we have to have balance in our lives, work balance, work-life balance, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly one kind of balance that teenagers and younger adolescents and school-age children need to think about
mm-hmm.
is how much do they want to rely on their screens and how much they want to rely on person-to-person experiences.
Yes.
And trying to find a way that you can benefit from social media,
mm-hmm.
from online activities and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
No one's saying get rid of them,
mm-hmm.
but making sure they're balanced out by other kinds of experiences.
That's right. That's right. It's true. Yes, that's a very important thing to balance us. And what advice would you give to the individuals about the mental health issue?
Yeah. I think that, excuse me. I think that the advice that I would give people is, first thing, understand what mental health is. Mm-hmm. Mental health means that you can meet the challenges of day-to-day life mm-hmm. in a way that's going to be productive.
Mm-hmm.
If the demands of day-to-day life become too much for you,
mm-hmm.
cut back somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Do less.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
We have some people think that they should excel at everything. You don't need to.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe excelling at a few things,
mm-hmm.
or even doing just well enough at a few things is good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing is to know that when you do experience,
mm-hmm.
don't have some experiences where suddenly things seem to be a little bit out of control,
mm-hmm.
put on the brakes.
Mm-hmm.
When you think that you cannot manage moments of uncertainty,
mm-hmm.
try to figure out what that uncertainty is coming from,
mm-hmm.
and try to recognize
mm-hmm.
the ways that what sorts of things in your life are more certain than others.
Mm-hmm.
So to get back that sense of tolerance that's going to limit your anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Third thing mentioned already, know that you can talk to people.
Yes.
Your parents may not seem like this all the time, but mm-hmm. your parents care about you. They care about your well-being.
Mm-hmm.
Other people do as well.
Mm-hmm.
So to recognize that there are supports,
mm-hmm.
recognize there's some things you can do for yourself,
mm-hmm.
and a few other comments. One, getting enough sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes teenagers mm-hmm. think that sleep can go without it. You
mm-hmm.
can't.
Mm-hmm.
Try to get a good night's sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all,
mm-hmm.
take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you eat properly.
Mm-hmm.
These sounds like the sorts of things that you tell someone in first grade.
Mm-hmm.
People are told this in first grade because they're important
mm-hmm.
right across the entire lifespan.
Mm-hmm.
Self-care is important.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, we all want to do a lot of things. We all want to achieve
mm-hmm.
certain kinds of outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
Self-care is an important mm-hmm. process.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned it right, that self-care is important because it's also good for our mental health. If you are having challenges with mental illness, mental disorder, stress, depression, anxiety, you may name all these disorders, please speak up. Reach out for help. We have support systems, our families, our friends, our workplaces, our supervisors, in schools. If you are a student, reach out even to your teachers. They can help us. It is very important for our mental health. Despite the real world challenges that we are facing, the biggest and complex obstacle that we'll ever wrestle personally is the mind. So we need to guard the mental state of our mind. We have to focus on the positive and not dwell on the negative so that we can live well and have a positive mindset. Let us love one another. Let us respect and care for each other. And also, self-care is very important. Take care of yourself. Love yourself so that you'll be able to love another person. And Dr. William Bukowski is a psychology professor in the psychology department in University of Concordia in Montreal, Canada. We want to thank you for being here at our podcast, for the valuable information that brings awareness to our communities. You can reach us at zimpro@hotmail.com, and also our website is zimmusicproductions.com. You have a wonderful day. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you.